Let me share another nugget of truth with you, my friend, from the Word of God in Romans chapter 6. As I was looking at this passage today, I began to rejoice in the fact that I have died to sin and come alive to Jesus Christ. Now, this may sound very strange, but it's true for every child of God. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Did you know, beloved, that you're dead to sin if you're a child of God? And you might say, "Man, you've got to be kidding. You don't know what I did last week. You don't know what I did yesterday. You don't know what I've done today. What do you mean I'm dead to sin? You must be crazy." Beloved, remember that man is a triune being. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, man is a triune being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. We human beings put the emphasis on the body. You remember in John chapter 3 when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus replied, "How can I be born as an old man? You mean I have to enter my mother's womb and be born again?" Nicodemus was thinking in physical terms. How often we human beings put the emphasis on the flesh rather than upon the spiritual part of man. But when an individual accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's in our spirit that we're born again. For before we accept Christ as Savior, we are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 states, "And you hath he quickened, are made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." It's in our spirit that we're born dead. We have physical life, but spiritually we're separated from God, dead to God, and alive to sin. And thus here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now, how are we dead to sin? Well, he goes on to explain in verse 4. He says, or verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now he's speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13 speaks of our being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of believers, into the body of Christ. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby He moves into our spirit at salvation, as Ephesians chapter 1 points out. And our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, as 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 states. And thus, beloved, this change that takes place within an individual's life is within our spirit. That is where we are born again. Physically, we may look the same because it doesn't change our physical features, but it's in our spirit that we are changed and made new. As Jesus said in John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," physical birth, "and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," spiritual birth. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And so it's in our spirit that we die to sin and become alive unto Christ. We were born dead to God in our spirit and alive unto sin. You hear of the terrible, awful things that men do to one another, and you wonder how in the world can they do such terrible and horrible things to children or to animals or to other people. How can they do such horrible things? It's because they're spiritually alive unto sin and dead to God, dead in trespasses and in sin. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit to do the work of salvation, He makes us pure and clean and holy and righteous within our spirit, and we die to sin. In our spirit, we become dead to sin, but alive unto God. And this is what Paul is pointing out here in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's why water baptism is a picture of what has already taken place within our spirit. Water baptism is an act of identification with Christ, whereby we are indicating to those observing the baptism that we in our spirit have died to sin and have become alive unto Christ. And thus we are dead to sin in our spirit, but alive unto God in our spirit. Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as Savior, we are born again. Therefore, verse 4 states, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Because we have eternal life, and we shall never die. Yes, the body is going to die, but the body is not you and me, beloved. The body is just the old earth suit that we wear while walking here upon earth. And when we leave this earth suit, we move into the presence of the Lord, as Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, beloved, I am never going to die spiritually again. I have died to sin and become alive unto Christ. And this is what he's telling us in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, speaking of water baptism, the physical baptism of being immersed into water, picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, our old sin nature, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin, this physical body, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Beloved, to serve sin is not God's way for the believer. You and I have been liberated and set free from the bondage of sin. We have died to sin in our spirit. We have become alive unto God in our spirit. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You can go to the grave of an alcoholic, and you can pour alcohol on that grave all day, and it will not bother that alcoholic. because he has died, and the body no longer reacts to the alcohol. He's dead. And so, beloved, you and I have died to sin in our spirit, and we've been freed from sin. Hallelujah. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, count, consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You see, beloved, you and I now can choose to live for Jesus and to not yield our flesh to its sinful appetites, its sinful desires, its sinful lusts. Let not sin. That's a choice you and I must make, to not allow our physical body to dictate to us how we're going to live. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. We've been delivered from the penalty and the commandment, or the condemnation of sin, beloved. The condemnation that the law brought, because we, by the grace of God, have been set free, have been given eternal life, and will never, never die. Even as Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, so we, being raised in our spirit to walk in newness of life, will never experience death. Again, our spirit has eternal life. We're going to live forever. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, today, do not let sin rule in your mortal body. Do not yield to its lust and its evil cravings and the desires of the flesh, but walk after the Spirit, to the glory, honor, and praise of our mighty and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you as you choose to obey Him.